As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hey everybody, this headline podcast is presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks.
Breaking news from The Athletic.
Scott Burnside here, along with Fluto Shinzawa. Fluto, normally if a Hart Trophy winner gets traded at the trade deadline, it's big news, everyone's happy. But I got to tell you, there are a lot of mixed feelings, maybe around the hockey world. I'm curious to hear what you have to say in Boston. But with the Bruins late night edition, late night Sunday, heading into Monday's trade deadline, the addition of Taylor Hall and Curtis Lazar from the Buffalo Sabres for a second round pick and prospect Anders Bjork. What's it, when you first saw this, you're like, okay, well, this could turn the tide for Boston? Or are you like, okay, this is Taylor Hall, he's got one even strength goal this entire season? What's the vibe in Boston after the big trade?
Well, you said it, Scott, that's the number that's critical, right? 1 5-on-5 goal for Taylor Hall, of all people, former MVP, former first pick. I got to tell you, the games that he played the Bruins in with Buffalo, I didn't notice Taylor at all. And he alluded to that, actually, in his conference call this morning after the trade, that he said, flat out, I'm not a confident hockey player right now, which is just startling to hear from a player with such a pedigree. But it just shows, right, how much circumstance of Buffalo, of being within that team and that organization, and they had their coronavirus issues, the losing issues, everything's gone wrong for that. And yes, he's been a part of that, and he was paid $8 million to not be a part of that. But what is he? That's the question that the Bruins have to answer. And I think ultimately, Scott, it comes down to the price that they paid, which is really not that much. Sure, a second-round pick could become and should become a pretty good player. But Anders Bjork, five straight games, he'd been a healthy scratch. And just a very poor fit all around for Anders this year in Boston. So for the opportunity to explore what Taylor Hall could be for this team, I think that was worth the price of entry for the Bruins. And a varsity player in Curtis Lazar. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, it's been fascinating because, you know, having tracked Taylor Hall's movements over the last couple of seasons, I mean, this, you know, with all due respect to Taylor Hall, he gets traded from New Jersey to Arizona. The Devils actually get better. You can argue whether the Coyotes were maybe marginally better with Taylor Hall in the lineup. They did win a play-in round against a very soft Nashville team and were blasted by Colorado in the first round of the playoffs. And you're right, the whole Buffalo, you know, I think it surprised a lot of people signing a one-year deal in Buffalo for the $8 million. But I just think that people were, you know, people were leery of what Taylor Hall's value is in both dollar and term, and that hasn't really changed. But Fluto, I'm curious because I think you've hit the nail on the head. I mean, is it possible that this is kind of a tryout, if not for the Bruins long term, or you know, what extending beyond this playoff year, but certainly a chance for Taylor Hall to rehabilitate his image with arguably the best team he's ever played on, and going back to his days in Edmonton. You know, is this the sort of thing you can imagine turning into a long-term relationship?
Yeah, it's a great question, Scott. Taylor mentioned that this offseason that talks were very serious with Boston. And for whatever reason, I don't know the particulars, it just didn't work out. And then he moved on to Buffalo. So in terms of revisiting the relationship this time with the no move clause that he got from Buffalo, that helped steer him back toward Boston. Or whatever teams that were also in the mix, that he had a chance because of the no move. Okay, whatever team it was, he just wasn't interested. I want to go to Boston was pretty much his directive to Buffalo. So yes, that could be an opportunity for both sides to explore a long-term relationship. And as you noted, the surroundings for Taylor are not, okay, please come in and be our number one left wing. No, they have arguably the best all-around left wing in the game, Brad Marchand. It's possible that Taylor doesn't even have to be your number two left wing. Nick Ritchie has actually been pretty good as your second line left wing with David Krejci. So it's not like they're expecting Taylor to come in and be the Taylor Hall that we remember from years past. I think by now it's pretty clear that he's not the player that he was the MVP year in Jersey. But is he better than 1 5-on-5 goal? Probably. Maybe the answer is somewhere in the middle. So, and then we have to think about, okay, the expansion thing. This works out well for Boston in terms of, well, he's unrestricted, so you don't have to protect him. Maybe there's, if both sides are happy, say, okay, well, once Seattle gets their pick, maybe this is something that we explore in terms of an extension. But that's at this point, that's so far down the road. The priority for the Bruins and for Taylor is to get into the playoffs, which is no guarantee given the way that they're playing and getting hammered by Washington 8-1. So I have to say, I think the Mike Riley trade from Ottawa is just as critical, perhaps even more so, just because of how compromised the Bruins are on defense. And we saw Zdeno Chara come in with Washington last night, and he looked pretty solid. And the Bruins would like a player like that just to be a grown-up left-shot defenseman. And that's what Riley is. And perhaps we see this come together in terms of Riley maybe stopping a rush, getting the puck, and then getting it up to Taylor Hall in transition. I think that would be the dream scenario here for the Bruins, is that these pieces come together, because boy, that defense, that was not going to fly the way it was going in to the deadline.
Well, and Fluto, you mentioned, and I get the whole recency bias thing, but the fact that the adding Mike Riley on the back end, and then, of course, adding Taylor Hall and Curtis Lazar up front comes hours after an absolutely embarrassing loss to Zdeno Chara and the Washington Capitals. I mean, you alluded to it, and I'm curious to get your take. Listen, there's no way the Bruins should miss the playoffs, right? They have underperformed. They've had all kinds of injuries. The goaltending situation is very fluid right now. Dan Vladar net last night for the debacle. So there's been a lot of moving parts for the Bruins. Of course, Torey Krug and Zdeno Chara leaving in the offseason. So I'm wondering, when you look at this team now and you look at the pieces that Don Sweeney has added in the last 24 hours, do you feel better about the possibility that, A, the Bruins can solidify their hold on what I don't expect they'll jump up, but fourth place in the East Division, and then maybe to be one of those teams come playoff time, given their experience, that could be a real handful, whether it's Washington or the Islanders or Pittsburgh, that they would likely face in the first round?
No question, Scott. I throw last night out just because of the roster. You're missing, go down the list, Charlie McAvoy, Matt Grizzlick, Brandon Carlo, Kevin Miller. You've got a waivers guy in Tenorti. You've got Jack Eichon playing in, I think it's just his second NHL game. The kid goalie, Vladar, and he put in a really tough spot. And he has to eat the eight goals because they're coming off a back-to-back. There's no way they're going to put in their top prospect, Jeremy Swayman, to take that L. So that's just a very, very tough situation all around. But you look at the piece, and who knows, this year has been just so goofy for not just the Bruins, but for everybody in terms of injuries, sickness, compressed schedule. I don't think you can ever expect this lineup or any lineup to be at full health just because of all the circumstances going in. But you would have to think they're going to get some of these bodies back and they're going to stay healthy. And you're going to get both NHL goalies back at some point. And you have these pieces in place, in theory. A power play that is, okay, it's not as good as it was last year, but the numbers are not that far off. Your first line, especially Bergeron, Marchand, they're going to be there. Pastrnak has been no good lately. They've absolutely got to turn him around. Who knows what the issue there is, but you would think, just given the talent, that he's gonna find himself. So in theory, you should have a working top line. And then you put in Hall, and then you put in Riley, and then you get Tuukka back. Absolutely. This team is hard to play against defensively when they're at relative full health. And you would think with Riley helping to get some pucks out and up to the forwards that they should be better offensively. So, yes, the question is how much of these bodies get back and how much do they stay in? That's a question. But, yes, these additions were absolutely required. And, yes, they can make a difference in terms of the way the Bruins can compete in terms of getting in first. And then if they do, giving Washington or the Islanders a pretty good run.
I love the way the schedule fits in here, though, Fluto. I mean, and my understanding is that Taylor Hall will be making his way by car, I think, from Buffalo to Boston, and the schedule maker loving reporters everywhere, as the Buffalo Sabres will, in fact, be in Boston for the first post-trade deadline game for the Bruins. It sets up things very, very nicely. So it'll be interesting to see what transpires on Tuesday. And thanks for joining our breaking news coverage. You should go to The Athletic's new headlines section for much more on this story. And to get access to all of The Athletic's great sports content, visit theathletic.com/headlinepod, where you can find our latest subscription offer, just $3.99 per month. Fluto, excellent work by you as always. Look forward to seeing what happens in the coming days with the Boston Bruins. But thanks for coming to share your thoughts today.
Pleasure, Scott.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.